Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds that we may hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to look a bit closer at the gospel reading this morning, but just before I do that, there's, one technical point that I want to just raise, and we'll just talk about it for a couple of minutes and then move on, okay? The technical point is to do, if you're listening to the reading, it sort of ends on a bit of a downer, doesn't it? And we will be talking about that. That is part of the sermon. But most modern scholars argue that the verses that follow, 9 to 20, are an addition that came later. And you'll find that in most of your Bibles, it will actually have it in a separate section. Now, there is nothing wrong with those 9 to 20. They are based on things we find in throughout the other Gospels, etc. But there is a good argument that Mark's original Gospel either finished at verse 8 or it had an ending that was lost. In more recent times, more and more people are suggesting that Mark intended to finish where he finished. He wanted us to ask questions. It's almost like finishing a sermon without giving you the ending. And so we're all talking about what happened next. Also remember that Mark's gospel was received by who? Who was it written to? Christians. Guess what? They wouldn't have been Christians unless something happened after the women went silent. It's obvious that there is more, even if it finishes there. But as I said, that's a topic I quite enjoy talking about. We're not talking about it more today. But just to show why this passage ends where it does today, we're going to look at that. I would encourage you, however, to go through sometime today, go through all four Gospels and read what they have to say about the resurrection. It is different in all four Gospels. And even read the extra bit Mark has at the end. And you'll get a much more three-dimensional picture of all that is going on. But what we want to do this morning is look at what Mark has to tell us about the resurrection. We start early Sunday morning, don't we? And the resurrection has happened. The women don't know about it yet, do they? Because they're not yet at the tomb. But the resurrection has happened. One of the interesting things you might find as you go through all four Gospels, no one saw the resurrection. No one was there when Jesus rose from the dead. What we see is the after effects of the resurrection. We see the appearances, don't we? We know it has happened, but it wasn't as though someone could say, I was there, I saw what happened to his body. No one was in the tomb when he rose. But these women, they would have waited all day yesterday. The day before was the Sabbath. They weren't allowed to do any work. Soon as sunset happened on the Saturday, they would have got to work because they wanted to honour their Lord and Saviour. They want to honour Jesus. They don't care, as we read in John's Gospel, that Nicodemus has put all these rich spices and stuff on him. He was their Lord. They loved him. They want to pay him respect. We can understand that, can't we? But Mark wants us also to note that there is no one waiting for the resurrection, is there? The women aren't expecting Jesus to be resurrected. We read in the other Gospels, none of the apostles, none of the disciples are expecting Jesus to be resurrected. None of the people he healed are there waiting for the resurrection. We don't even see Lazarus hanging around waiting for Jesus to be risen. However, Mark is very clear in recording Jesus' teaching that Jesus preached that he would die and rise again. We saw in his crucifixion that his disciples deserted him, but the women were there. In Mark's gospel, it actually says the women were there at a distance. That here are all these people, men and women alike, who Jesus has taught, who Jesus has lived with, who are not just his followers. I would argue they are his friends. They loved him dearly. But they didn't understand, did they? I'm not blaming them. You and I. There's heaps of stuff we don't understand. I've been reading the Bible all my life. It's one of the earliest books I can remember reading. And there's still stuff, quite a lot, that I don't understand, that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. I'm not trying to be harsh on these people. The disciples, the ladies, are just like you and I, aren't they? What I'm pointing out here is you can follow Jesus and you can misunderstand him, can't you? You can follow Jesus and in fact get things wrong. Following Jesus is no guarantee that you understand how it all works, that you have a perfect theology all worked out. You understand exactly what Jesus, who Jesus is, what he has done, what he means to do. You've got it all worked out. I may have thought that way when I was 17. I definitely don't feel that way now. Some say that one of the benefits of getting older is you realise how little you know, rather than the other way. But though they don't understand what Jesus was on about when he talked about resurrection, and we can talk about what they may have done, but not today. The fact is, Jesus has risen. His resurrection is not dependent on you and I understanding it, is it? It wasn't dependent upon the disciples having a correct understanding. It wasn't dependent upon the women and other followers all there waiting outside the tomb for Jesus to come out. The resurrection happened. It is not dependent on our understanding. But notice, as the women are travelling to the tomb, they discuss a problem. Remember that? They've got all these spices and herbs. They basically want to clean Jesus' body, look after it, show him the respect that their culture demands. But even as they're going, even though they've done all this work, they realise that there's a big problem, don't they? They were there when he was buried, we're told in the other Gospels. So they know that there's this huge stone. Nothing trivial. How are they supposed to get that out of the way? Because remember, the disciples aren't with them. Where are the guys? Well, we're sort of told elsewhere they're hiding. They're afraid that, you know, that the temple guards, the Romans, are going to come for them next. So the guys are of no help. So they go and they're scratching their heads, and it's sort of a, we'll work this out when we get there. They have no idea of what it is that they're supposed to do. Have you been in that situation? I know I have. At times, you're dead certain you're doing what God wants you to do. You just don't know what it is that you're supposed to do. You may be in the place you know God wants you to be, but you don't know what happens next. And so you start to come up with ideas. But remember here, this problem is one of their own making, in a sense. Because it's tied back to the misunderstanding. The stone is not a problem. Why is the stone not a problem? Jesus has risen. The stone was never going to be a problem. So sometimes what we put our energy in, and if you're like me, often some of those things we really worry about are not even an issue. Because Jesus has got that all under control. That's part of what he was telling you time and time again in the past. But if you're a bit like me, it takes a while to get in here at times. We've got to keep hearing it. Luther argued that we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And he was saying that to himself as much as his congregation and students. So even if you have no idea what you are supposed to do, that doesn't matter. Jesus is risen. He is the one with the power. He is the focus. It's not what we do. I'm not saying our actions don't matter, but when it comes to Jesus, he is the focus. It's not how many activities, it wasn't how great of a funeral or a send-off they gave him. That did not matter. What happened? Well, they come to the tomb, stone's gone, guards are gone, and inside is a young man dressed in white. All, I think just about 100% of commentators agree with what Karen says, this is an angel. But angels and men in white are basically described in a similar fashion. And he tells them to go, that Jesus is risen. He's not here anymore. Come in, have a look. You can see the evidence. Go and tell who? The disciples. Told them to go tell the disciples. And you notice that there's an extra little bit there. Tell the disciples and Peter. What are we being told here? Part of what we're being told is the gospel, the fact that Jesus is risen, is for the disciples to know. The disciples who abandoned him. The disciples, at least the women are here, aren't they? The guys aren't anywhere to be seen. Yet the message is being sent to them. They are still his disciples. So also is Peter. Why is Peter separated? Because remember, on the night he was betrayed, Peter denied him 3 times. Was he now no longer Jesus' follower? Was he no longer a disciple? No. The message from heaven, that includes you, Peter. And this is the message the women are to take. But they are afraid, aren't they? This is a huge task for women in this particular culture. Women were basically second-class people. Their testimonies were normally not accepted in court. You know, they're silly old women. They wouldn't know what they saw. They would be afraid that they're going to be disbelieved. They were also probably afraid that all of this really didn't make any sense at all. Yet they were to go and tell the disciples what had happened. They are scared out of their minds. One of the things that you do see throughout the New Testament, especially the Gospels, when followers of Jesus encounter the awesomeness, the power that Jesus has, they're afraid. Remember the storm? They're out on the boat. Jesus is having a nice nap on the back, and they're worried that they're going to die. And so they wake him up. It almost seems he's a little grouchy about that, but what does he say to the storm, to the waves? Be still. In fact, a number of commentators point out that the Greek is harsher than that. It's almost shut up. And what happens? The storm stops, the waves still. And that passage ends with saying that the disciples were very afraid. Who has that sort of power? Dead people who have been brutally punished, who have been nailed to a cross, who have died on a cross, don't walk around 3 days later. They don't walk around ever. They are dead and buried. It doesn't happen. Yet here, can you see the reality of the resurrection is hitting them in the face, and that is terrifying. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And so the indication is they've run away. The word fled is used there, which normally means with great haste. They ran away. Have you been in that situation? I know I have. Where all that it seems that God is asking me to do, all that he is seems to be saying that I need to be involved in just seems too much. So rather than go that way, I'm going to just take a bit of a break. Maybe even if you don't actually run away, you have that feeling that, you know, you would really not like to be anywhere else than here where God wants you. But in this, Jesus is not letting go. Whilst this is where Mark's gospel, or the gospel reading we read this morning, where this is where it finishes, we know that is not where it ended. We know that Jesus did a personal appearance to Mary Magdalene, didn't he? That the women will eventually go and tell the guys, and the guys won't believe them. That Peter and John will go running to the tomb and still not understand. That Jesus will appear in the upper room. And John tells us, but Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas didn't. Jesus actually has to do a fair bit of hard work to convince everybody that he is alive. It is Jesus who doesn't let go. Even though his followers have misunderstood him, have created problems that had nothing to do with what Jesus wanted him to do, even though we as followers at times are so afraid, even though we want to run away, our Lord Jesus is risen, and he doesn't let us go. He keeps working. He keeps calling us to him. But he doesn't just call us into his loving arms. He does that, but don't get me wrong, but it's important. He actually calls us to him so that we can act for him. This is the, shall we say, weird thing about the gospel. As followers of Jesus, we've been asked to go and tell, haven't we? As the women were told to go and tell the disciples, so in the Great Commission, all of his followers are told to go and tell the nations. Go and tell your family. Go and tell your workmates. Go and tell those people that you meet in everyday life. We are also told in the Great Commission, of course, that in all that, he will be with us. Now, why I say this is a bit weird, the risen Jesus, this is God in all his awesomeness. I mean, surely if Jesus himself did a nice world tour, wouldn't that be a better way to have the world all come to know him? I must admit, if I was in charge of things, I'd probably do something like that. You'd get in some good television time, you'd have a good Facebook page, maybe even some TikToks, whatever. You'd promote it like nothing else. But that is not how Jesus wants the gospel spread. He wants the news of his life, death, and resurrection to be gossiped by his people wherever they find themselves. Spreading the news of Jesus is what we are called to. That is scary. We will be afraid, and at times we will want to run away from it. But in all that, Jesus won't let go. He will continue to work through you. He will continue to put you in situations. He is both gentle and persistent. He will continue to make you into your real self, into your true self, as His Holy Spirit works within each and every one of you. Jesus is risen. He is alive. He is the Lord and Savior. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. You, because of all this, you and I, we are forgiven. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. What He wants us to do is to go and tell others. Not just in our words, but by going and telling others is also our deeds, isn't it? By being kind, by being gentle, by being patient, by just being nice to people around you is all part of that telling. Tell by your words and your actions all that Jesus has done for you. And yes, as we said, you're going to mess it up. It's going to go horribly wrong at times. Does that affect that Jesus is risen? No. Does it affect that the kingdom is coming? No. We are doing this because that's what He wants us to do. He has done so much for us. Now He wants us to go and be His people, to tell the world what He has done, not in our own strength, but through the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. He is risen indeed. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.